Hello. 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 Chicaro. Chicaro del cranio. Hello. Hello. Hello.
I would have thought. I would have thought.
Shan't be leaving.
And did he reply?
No. No, 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 which is kind of disappointing. I emailed him just over a week ago. I was very respectful, big fan.
Yeah.
Asking if he could babysit for me and Sarah.
And you've heard nothing?
Nope.
What address did you use for him? Can you remember?
I used a few, because I don't know it. So
no,
I
don't know.
Took a stab at a few.
How one would contact Bono, but anyway.
No. I tried Bono at U2.com, which, to be honest, that one bounced back.
Right.
As did Bono at Mac.com. Bono at gmail.com. What else did I use? Bono at hotmail.com, which I thought that was, come on, for fuck's sake, you know. Bono Vox at u2.com. I got them written here. Bono Vox at mac.com and Bono Vox at hotmail.com.
Right, that's quite a few. Just for argument's sake, though, why Bono?
Because our usual babysitter wasn't available. Beatrice couldn't do it.
There are other choices, though, yeah, apart from Bono, or... No?
Not sure what your point is. I mean, there's not, you know, people around my area are booked up all the time. People book them up.
Well, does he live near you?
No, not as far as I know. I don't know where you're going with this. I don't know where he lives.
No, I don't mean to labour the point. Yeah, but has Bono ever said in an interview that he's interested in babysitting? Has he advertised that service?
No, no. I've never met the guy. Which, in a way, isn't ideal, I suppose. I mean, in a perfect world, you meet a babysitter before you leave them with your kids, but this is Bono. It's not worth his while to fuck things up, is it?
Well, absolutely. You know? You'd go straight to the papers, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Did you try anyone else in U2?
Yeah, obviously. It's not stupid. I mean, we didn't want...
Glad to hear it.
The only thing is we didn't want any of them babysitting. You know, Bono's the front man, so he's less risky, you know.
Yeah, that would have been my first port of call,
But we figured they could get a message to him. So I tried The Edge at btinter.com and Adam Clayton at adamclayton.com.
Right, okay. And Larry Mutton?
Yeah, I doubt Larry Mutton has email.
Thinking about it, they probably don't use their personal email addresses for work stuff.
But this is you too.
Well, given that it is you too, maybe you could try Bono's manager at btinternet.com, or I don't know, maybe they just have one like joint email for work, u2@u2.co.ie.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, I went online, you know, I tried everything. You know, I Googled Bono email addresses and I just got some stupid Bono impersonator in Bridgend who said he couldn't babysit our girls specifically. He could babysit two girls who look like our girls. You know, like lookalikes of our girls.
Oh, I see. Is that how they do it?
I guess so, yeah.
That's interesting. So, like, an impersonator or a tribute act won't babysit your kids, but it will babysit, like, lookalikes?
Tribute kids. Yeah.
Blimey. Is that a business?
I don't know if it's a business, but I don't know whether Ruby and Neris have tribute kids. I don't know that they would hire specifically looking for, like, for a party or an office, you know, whatever, like a corporate do.
Well, no, I think Lucy has one. She's got a tribute, yeah.
Fine, well.
I've never met her, but I did once see her from a distance.
Okay.
Nothing like her. Nothing like it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't say anything, can you? So what did you do?
Well, look, let's just explain. The reason I emailed Bono over a week ago, if you're listening, Mr. I'm too fucking busy to check my emails or stop my account bouncing people's messages back, Vox, is I got tickets for Hamilton. Actually, went cheap ones. Yeah, yeah.
I know you were after them, yeah.
Me and Sarah needed a babysitter.
All right, okay. No, carry on. Come on. Right.
So anyway, emailed the guy, nice, respectful email. Hey, Bono, I've never met you, but I'm a big fan. Well, the earlier stuff, Boy, October War.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Anyway, wondering if you can babysit my daughters at 9 and 4, week Friday. If you can't do it, can you please let me know in good time?
And when was this?
8 days ago.
And nothing, yeah?
No.
No,
it's a bit fucked up, to be honest. I gave him all the instructions in my initial email about, you know, the girls' dinner. Sarah brings back these mac and cheese from Trader Joe's, you know, like you boil, you know, with hot water. She brings them back, you know, from America.
Well, that's easy enough for him to do, for goodness sake.
I know, well, yeah, these fucking... But you never know with these rock stars, you know? Like, he probably has people bringing him food. He's probably got a chef at home, you know, and you never know. Like, he's been famous for a long time.
Exactly. So isn't this like a bit of a break from that for him?
Yeah, I know. It's like the instructions are on the side. I mean, I can bloody do it. I'm a terrible cook, you know. But it's all things like what book Neris, the bedtime, sure. What book Neris has. You know, Ruby's fine. She could put herself to bed, all that. And I even said, yeah. Listen, if you need to rehearse, fine. Just keep it down after the girls are in bed. I said there are a couple of cans of beer in the fridge because Bono probably likes beer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the music business. I'm assuming he can open a fucking can of beer. Yeah. Or does he have somebody to do that as well?
All right. Well, you know, what did you do? That's the question, I think.
Well, by 5 o'clock yesterday, he hadn't got back to me. So we went out.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I'd asked him very specifically in the original email, if you can't do it, if you can't babysit for us, please let me know.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, he hadn't said he couldn't be there. There was no reply. There's nothing to say he can't be there.
Yeah, no, you're right. The assumption has to be that he's going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't get it. He should be free, shouldn't he? Because, you know, you two aren't on tour at the moment.
So I don't think he lives in London. Maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's in Ireland if he's anywhere. I mean, it's not the other side of the world. I mean, how long was that flight that we took to Dublin? How long was that?
Oh, my God, like an hour?
Yeah, an hour. Exactly. And we were flying with Ryanair. You know, I mean, they've got private jets, for Christ's sake. I mean, how long is it going to take the guy just to grab some stuff and jump on his jet? A figure of his standing, for God's sake.
Can't believe it.
So you went out anyway, yeah. And you left the girls on their own?
Yeah. Hamilton. I mean, we had a good night. The show was amazing. I mean, it really stood up to the reviews. It was really good. And then, really nice. We got back at about 2:30. We found this really nice bar around the back. Right near the theatre, the stadium late. It was really nice.
And, yeah, that's nice.
But here's the thing, we get back at 2:30 and the girls were in fucking pieces. I mean, Neris is 4. She was inconsolable. Can you imagine this? Ruby had tried to make the mac and cheese. She'd overcooked it. She couldn't work out the house heating, so they were freezing. And then, to make things worse, there was apparently a whole family of foxes screeching outside Neris's room.
Yeah,
for like an hour and a half. I don't know if you've heard that noise.
Yeah, we've got some outside out.
I mean, how utterly irresponsible. First, he doesn't reply about my email. Secondly, when I'd specifically said in that fucking email, please, Bono, let me know if you can't make it.
I know.
Let me know. I could not have been clearer.
I know. I mean, and Bono claims to care about people,
doesn't he? I know, it's all world, yeah. So it's Africa and
all
these problems.
And then he lets this happen. I mean, I'm with you on this.
I'm still in shock. I thought you two were a force for good.
No, Bono, hoo-ha.
Yeah, Bono. Do you think it's because I asked him for 2 references?
Woo-hoo-hoo! So lonely.
Ambulance.
This week, we've something of a coup for Brain Cigar. Isn't that right, Pete?
You could indeed say that, Jess, because like, we're not that many episodes in and we've got a big guest on the show. So, so she has sashayed all the way from the back streets of Lanarkshire, I hope I said that right, to the hallowed stage of the Hollywood Bowl and beyond. Joining us today, the music legend that is the one and only Sheena Easton.
Oh, welcome, Sheena. What a privilege this is.
Thank you. Thank you both. I should just say, actually, that I'm not from the back streets, nor have I ever... I haven't actually played the Hollywood Bowl.
We hired a new researcher who probably hasn't.
Oh, I'm not sure it's appropriate to be blaming an intern, mate, if you can't be bothered to...
Yeah, right. Anyway, it all took up when you signed up to appear on Esther Ranson's television showcase, The Big Time.
Well, I wouldn't call it a showcase. I mean, it was more of a reality programme. But before such things existed, you might say...
I suppose it obviously launched your career, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first single, Modern Girl, hadn't done terribly well, so you could say that this provided the ideal launch pad.
So it kind of was a showcase then, really?
Well, you need to stop calling it a showcase, mate, because that's not what it was.
Right.
So anyway, all right, sorry, it'll all be fine. So anyway, it was the release of the follow-up that really saw things take off for you, yeah?
Well, yeah. I mean, when 9 to 5 went into the top 10 over here in 1980, I was gobsmacked, you know? I mean, it was such a big hit that Modern Girl started climbing back up the charts. Wow. And I didn't really know what to make of it, mate, I'll be honest with you. Bingo. You know?
Indeed, bingo. Yeah, bingo. Yeah. And then 9 to 5 went to number one in America.
Yeah, well, they made us change the title to Morning Train.
They did, wow.
Mm. Yeah, all because Dolly Parton, you know, already had a song out called 9 to 5. Mm. I was a bit pissed off with that, to be fair.
Yeah, sure, I bet you were, you know. Yeah, and then this, and of course then... You went on to work with Prince.
Yeah, that was great. You know, Prince was a laugh. Could certainly hold his ale.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Well,
one of the songs he wrote for you fell foul of the censors, is that right? It was deemed too explicit?
Well, I'm assuming you mean Sugar Walls. I mean, I know it was supposed to be a bit sexy and all that, but I don't think it was, you know. It's not that obvious, mate. Come on, I mean.
Fair point, I suppose.
Yeah, they wouldn't play it on daytime radio in the States. I was really put out by that.
So you must have been so shocked to learn of his premature passing. That must have been a bit rough.
What do you mean?
Well, 2016 was quite a year, wasn't it? I mean, we'd only just processed the passing of Bowie, and then, of course, Prince died, you know.
Yeah.
Is this some kind of joke?
But
look, I don't really appreciate this kind of thing, I've got to say.
Prince passed away.
It was massive news. I mean,
it's all over the news.
Surely you.
I had no idea.
God. Okay. Well, look. What are your best memories? And how do you like to recall? Prince, best of all. I mean,
he was just the absolute. I can't believe no one told me. I mean, not my manager. No one.
Yeah, but it was all over the media. I mean, obviously. Like,
sorry, but you're seriously finding this out for the first time now. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. We didn't...
Do you mind if I use your toilet?
It's all right. No, not at all. Please, like, go ahead. Down the main hall, just opposite the lift.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I appreciate that. Oh, God, I can't believe it. That's fucking... Shock.
It's all right. It's okay. Oh. Can we get you a coffee or anything? Sheena? Sheena?
God, how can that be? How could Sheena Easton not have known? I mean...
It's weird. It's really weird. I'm not quite sure what's happened here. I mean...
I wouldn't mind a coffee, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, all right, well, let's get a coffee. Let's go. Drew? Hi. Can we get 3 cappuccinos? I guess, do you think Sheena Easton drinks cappuccino?
No idea, mate. Most people do, I suppose.
I could check a Wikipedia page and see if there's anything
about cappuccino. Well, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, and some sugar as well, please. Thanks, Drew.
So, what should we talk about?
What do you mean?
Well, we can't just sit here with a load of dead air. I mean...
That's a good point.
I know. Did I finish telling you about my crazy GP in Balham?
Yeah, what happened?
No, it was nuts. I had to go in for this medical. Something to do with some insurance policy that I'd just bought. So I'm in his Dr. Hosmer's surgery, doing all these ridiculous hearing tests and shit. And he's saying, Jack and Jill went up the hill over and over, and he's got me repeating it, you know, both ears.
Right.
Yep,
bloody
I know.
Hell.
Bloody ridiculous. So we've done that. Dr. Hosmer turns away to write up some notes. I mean, God alone knows what he found to write, I'm sure, but... Then his phone starts ringing, so he turns around from his notes and says, answer that, will you? No, it's just...
The doctor?
Yes, yes. I'm so taken aback that I just pick up his telephone and start talking.
Fucking hell.
Well, it turns out that he's interviewing for a new secretary, obviously. Mm. He's got nobody to answer his damn phone, you know. So while he's faffing about in the opposite corner of the room, doing God knows what, I think I take at least 4 more calls from hopeful women and one bloke who are after the job. I mean, it's bloody patient. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he should have offered it to you. Didn't you say anything?
God, it was so surreal that I didn't actually know what to say to him. It was too funny to get properly annoyed, to be honest.
Ah, Sheena, are you okay?
Everything okay?
Look, I'm sorry, mate. There's no toilet paper in the cubicle at the back. So I borrowed some of that stuff from one of the offices down there. Do you reckon that's all right?
I'm sure it's fine. I just want to say I'm very sorry about the news, your sad news about Prince. I mean, he's obviously in some shock. We've ordered you a coffee. Should that help? A cappuccino?
I don't really drink coffee anymore, mate. Too much caffeine makes me go a bit strange.
Well, I have to say, I'm not sure it'll make a lot of difference at this stage.
I don't really appreciate this attitude. I just had a real shock.
I'm sorry. It must be a very difficult thing to process. Jess, can you just be a bit more?
It's okay.
Tell us about your latest project. I hear there's another compilation album in the pipeline.
No, sorry. This hasn't been a good experience for me. I think I should call it a day.
But this is a great opportunity for you to promote the...
Look, I've been in this business for 4 decades. I know a pair of charlatans when I see one.
Well, sorry, Thaffer, look, it's like, I'm sorry that we were the ones who told you that Prince had died.
Let's keep it calm.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Sorry,
I'm sorry you feel that way. All we were doing was stating what pretty much the entire fucking planet already... what the entire planet already knows.
Sorry, I'm done here.
Can you leave those tissues? They belong to one of the top brass from Ambulance.
Sheena.
Thanks.
Let her take the bloody tissues. Sheena Easton there. Okay, she was meant to do another 10 minutes. What happened next with Dr. Hosmer?
Well, that was kind of it.
All right.
What's happened to those coffees?
Woo-hoo-hoo! Your word!
Okay, well, it's that time we've all been awaiting with bated breath. Jesus. Time to hand over again to Throat and his architecture of bacon.
No, Pete, I meant to tell you, they've asked us not to call him that.
Call him what?
No, they've asked us not to call him Throat. We're to refer to him as John Church.
Does it matter?
Well, it matters, because we've sort of got to deal with them.
Throat? It's Throat, mate.
For the next couple of minutes, another excerpt from John Church's...
Throats.
The Architecture of Bacon.
By Throat.
Shush.
By Throat.
I wake at 4 a.m. most days and sit at the front door with a fruit shorty and a steaming Horniman's to hand, ahead of my traipse along the beach. I used to saunter, however, this became little more than a traipse after the passing of Fife Robertson, my Highland Terrier. When I suggest traipse, it might be seen by those of a certain standard as little more than a trudge. Take all that out. Until the time came to bury dear Fife Robertson, he and I would take our daily saunter along the beach to a convenient covelet. The covelet just below Tom Jones's left nostril in those come-to-Tenby promotional advertisements. On arrival, I would allow Fife Robertson to feed upon a Porkinson sausage and a large milk bone from Mr. News. Then, after Fife Robertson had done his various businesses, I'd allow him to place his chin gently upon my lap while I'd lull him to sleep with a couple of shanties. On his reawakening, which might not have occurred for several hours, I'd allow Fife Robertson a brief game of go, fetch and return, which more often than not featured his preferred plaything, a network of tightly knotted fabric, rather crudely fashioned from an old pair of gardening strides and the sleeves from a neighbour's discarded boiler suit. But sadly, those days are behind me now, and all that remains of dear Fife Robertson is a framed snipping of greying fur from his underbelly, which I keep on permanent display atop the tall boy. alongside a hand-coloured photograph of the young Princess Margaret offering a punnet of raspberries to a small child in Dunstable.
Hey, little surprise for you.
What?
Little surprise, mm-hmm. Live on air.
Okay.
Our figures are in.
We might want to do that afterwards in the pub.
No. We're doing it right here. Look, our listenership, get this, has almost quintupled since the first Brain Cigar podcast. What? How about that?
Jesus Christ, seriously?
Yeah, I told you it'd be a surprise. Look, almost 170,000 listeners added since the last quarter.
Oh, well, how do you know that? How do they calculate it? I mean, is it just subscribers or the podcast host tells you or something like that?
That is not how it's done anymore.
Okay.
See?
What the fuck is that?
It's an AHS machine, audio heat-seeking robot.
It looks like a big square black piece of shit to me. Did you spend money on this?
Well, we had a bit over from the last recording.
Oh, Christ's sake.
No, look, this thing is brilliant. It's just a prototype, but it works.
How does it work?
No, look, it can identify reception of our podcast in any enclosed environment. And then it connects with all heat sources, see here, within a 25-foot radius, thereby calculating exactly how many people are listening. In short, it traces listeners via heat identification. Look, I tested it out secretly during the last podcast, and look, we've just had the figures through. Brilliant. Eh? Eh?
No, it looks like you built it.
It's the bloody future, Pete, I tell you.
Oh, fucking hell, Jez. What if someone's listening on headphones whilst, I don't know, out jogging? That's not an enclosed environment.
Ah, I thought you'd ask that.
Did you?
Look, it detects the heat from the listener's head. Still gives an accurate reading.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What if somebody else is jogging within that radius and not listening?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that doesn't count. I mean, that person's not in line with the broadcast, so it's not going to be affected by it. I'm pretty sure that's it anyway.
Fucking hell. It reacts to any heat source?
Yes, absolutely. See? Look.
Any heat source.
It's working now. Look. That's you there, and that's me.
Okay, well, there's a third source. That a third meter?
No, well, that's what's probably that? The guy at the desk. I don't know.
No, he's gone to the toilet.
Well, it's probably still updating. Look, let's have a look.
Any heat source?
Yes, any bloody heat source. How many times?
Don't can't get all defensive. I just like, you've spent a lot of money making this or buying this from fucking right. Noel Edmonds probably or something like
lovely
that. What if the person... No, it's hideous. What if the person listening to the Brain Cigar has a pet?
What?
People have cats and dogs and fish or hamsters or whatever. You know, what if they've got one of those in the room while they're listening?
Yeah, and if they do?
Well, an animal is a heat source. Do they count?
No, well, they're counted, yeah. Yeah, they're counted.
They're counted? Jesus Christ.
No, they can be counted as listeners.
Have you fucking lost it?
But, Pete...
Animals can be counted as listeners.
They are sentient beings. They're only in the room because the owner is, so they count as listeners.
I mean, Jesus Christ, a cat. I mean, a cat hears the show. It might hear a noise. It's not listening. It's not taking in the information. I mean, they're not counted as bloody listeners, for fuck's sake.
Yes, they are.
All right, there's your mature answer. Yes, they are. What interest has a fucking St. Bernard in what we're talking about?
About as much as anyone else, I shouldn't wonder.
I mean, what if somebody's listening at Battersea fucking Dogs Home? I mean, any creature within 25 feet is by definition a Brain Cigar listener. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much do you pay for this piece of shit?
It works. Look, you can see that it works, yeah? And we can exploit the animal angle anyway. Oh. Give, you know, pet food sponsors. Get them in to communicate directly to any listening dog or cat.
I think you need to see a doctor.
Look, we should call Winalot. See if they want a piece of this, yeah?
I mean, Jesus.
I reckon if we said Winalot enough during a podcast...
Oh, God. What, you say Winalot enough during a podcast
yes,
and then somehow
yes.
animals, dogs listening or dogs hearing this will then somehow communicate to their owners that they wish to have Winalot as opposed to
yes.
another dog food brand.
Well,
I don't think dogs are capable
they
of telling
them... They recognise it when the owner says it, so why not?
But they don't recognise it in Sainsbury's. You don't take your dog to fucking Sainsbury's. The dog points at the Winalot. As opposed to pal.
If we get someone on board, it's whoever that is, yeah?
Jesus Christ. What about non-living sources of heat?
What?
Well, a radiator. People have them in every room.
They're not listening.
No, and they're not fucking listening either. I'm listening more than a radiator is. How about somebody's in the bath? The hot water? Is the hot water going to say...
Yes, me.
All right, can we advertise to hot water?
You'd be up for some positive news.
So some guy, all right. Some guy's listening in the kitchen. He's cooking with his three hobs on. Or, I don't know, a girl in Dundee has a bowl of, I don't know, Scotch broth on the go. What do we do? Call up Cross and Blackwell, Jez? Yeah? Do we call Cross and Blackwell?
All right.
See if they want to advertise to their own fucking soup.
Right. Are you a mug of leek and potato? Has your car insurance gone up?
Oh, fair enough. It has spotted he's gone out of the room. So who's the other source then? My coffee's listening to me.
Couple of listings we might have missed last time. On Sunday next, Smoky Butterfly are once again performing what they describe as a rolling medley of rocking greats at the Red Lion in Barnes.
At the Coach and Horses just up the road, DJ Anatomically Correct Naked Santa will be spinning those bangers into the small hours, it says here.
He is worth seeing. Uh-huh. My daughter raved about his set. Creamfields, I think, a couple of years back.
So why is he on in a pub?
Don't know. Linda Mills Beecham and her travelling keyboard are playing the Trinity in Stockwell. Go to that if you fancy a Thursday evening of shrieking self-pity and skin-crawling fifth-form poetry, it says here. Supported by the Klaxon That Wouldn't Die, whoever they are.
Great. I think that'll do us.
Cheers. You've been listening to Brain Cigar and...
Ambulance.
...production.
I believe in sir. No, sir.